weird
I
being
drink.
a, it's weird being a guest.
I know, right?
I'm usually the one who's pushing that button.
I've learned from the best. I've learned from the best. So,
No mistakes will pop up in the, oh, come on. It's fun. It's fun when you mess up.
sometimes
Shows you're human.
the bloops of it all.
And 3, 2, 1.
Two and one. What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Oh my God, season two. And I have an amazing guest that I looked up to for a long time. But before we get into the guests, let me tell you a little bit what to do. I have a favor to ask of you. You could kindly go to the stars and the reviews, give us those stars and ratings so others like yourselves can most likely see this in their algorithms. And that song you just heard, Miko, that song you could download wherever you stream your favorite music, written by myself, produced by Aaron McClendon. Just download it wherever you stream your favorite songs. And for today, your one-stop shop for all things balancing creativity, mindfulness, while being an entrepreneur. I have an awesome guest, you guys. I have Stefan with MLBC. Oh my God, I love you. How are you doing,
Andrew, is this
Stefan?
video or just audio?
It's going to be both.
Oh, okay,
So,
so I can be animated while and be
yes,
quiet at the same
you can
time.
do
Okay.
this. Look at, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Oh, that's fancy. I've never, hold on. Really did.
And you can do this. All the
That
things.
does not work for me. I can't
You
do
just
hearts.
got to go to software update, make sure
Oh,
you're in the
yeah, no,
current
I'm behind. I was gonna say
iOS.
you're fancy. I was like, you're doing magic.
I'll be here at Mac Genius Bar as well. So who do I have, you guys? I have Stefan, and I'm going to butcher your
You're
last
gonna
name.
butcher the last name. It's Stefan Marechko. Just it
Marechko.
rolls
That's
right off your
beautiful.
tongue, doesn't it?
I love how that sounds. Stefan Marechko is an artist originally from Philadelphia who found his creativity in New York City. He has worked in television, music videos, theater, and global advertising and PR films, and is an internationally published freelance photographer focusing on men's fashion and portraiture. An ongoing personal photography project of his titled Museum Napping, inspired by a performance art piece by actress. Depicts Stefan taking naps in museums around the world. A longtime Madonna fan, obviously, Stefan is one of the part-time. I'm going to rephrase all that. See, this is
Oh, I was
why
gonna say, yeah,
the host is getting me nervous. The other
this is when you
host.
have to like just take a breath. We're gonna restart. Be mindful.
Yes, we
Be
have to be
mindful. It's
mindful.
we're like let's be
Breath
grounded where
work.
we're
I
at. It's a
love
Thursday night.
it. It's like a
We've had a
train the
long
trainer.
holiday. We've had a
Girl, it has
long
been a long week.
holiday, you know.
It has. It has.
Okay,
All
let's
right.
go.
So,
Let's go.
a
I
long time
was gonna say
Madonna
I can do this
fan.
for you if you want.
Stefan is one part of the quartet. What?
So I host a podcast called MLVC, the Madonna Podcast.
Oh my God. Yes. Not only did Stefan get to go dancing on stage with Madonna as the unapologetic bitch during the Rebel Heart tour, he got to sit down with Madonna and share a beer with her and his friend Sean during the Madonna X tour. He attended M's exclusive performance at the Red Rooster, culminating in NOLA-inspired parade through the streets of Harlem, and most recently went roller skating with M at her finale, or finally, Enough Love disco party.
Finally, enough love.
Yes. In his spare time, Stefan is an avid gym goer
Oh my
and has
goodness,
be
Andrew.
I'm wrecking all this up. Look at you got me sweating. What is
I'm
happening?
an avid gym
Oh,
goer. I'm a Madonna
yes.
fan. Yeah,
Yes.
let's just dive in, Andrew. There's no need to
Let's
finish his
just do it.
bio.
I love this. Thank you so much, Stefan, for being here.
Here we
Give it up, you
are. It's all
guys.
real. See? It just
Stefan
goes to
is here.
show.
I love it. And you're repping the merch.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yes.
MLVC t-shirt. I always get a, you know. Well, you're repping the queen with a little vintage
I
true
have to.
blue from
Have to
that
celebrate
wonderful
the.
Herb Rich photo shoot. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. You guys, this podcast I've looked up to for such a long time. You already know I'm like one of the biggest fans.
You've been with us for a while, I think.
I
I don't.
have
Were
from.
you? Did you? I mean, we're gonna be starting our sixth season
I
this month, which
know.
is cuckoo bananas to think that I've been podcasting for 6 years about Madonna, because I think a lot of people hear that I do a podcast about Madonna and they're like, you've been podcasting about her for 6 years? How is that possible? And I'm like,
Right.
and I like to turn it on people and say, you've been watching football for how many years?
Everyone has their vice. Everyone has
Exactly. You know,
their
like it's
thing.
people like they buy season tickets at sports events. Madonna fans go see Madonna multiple times every tour.
Also, the fact that we have this community where we can share that dialogue with each other, and if we don't feel like outcasted, you know what I mean? Because you already know, like, being a Madonna fan, everyone already knows, like, don't even talk bad about Madonna to Andrew, because it's just not gonna happen.
Don't my be husband, going there. Don't you go there.
My husband will be like, oh,
like, I'll be taking my earrings off. I will see you in the parking lot.
Literally. So to have this like safe space of community where we can just like geek out and just be ourselves about all things Madonna.
Well, I mean, that's part of what it's for. You know, I mean, we've gotten so many messages over the years of people saying, I'm so thankful that you do this show because I don't have any friends who like Madonna where I live. And I turn on your show and I hear you talking about her, and it just feels like I'm part of the conversation. Yeah. I have a friend to, you know, and somebody had messaged me in season two saying, your show is just like a little warm hug. And I thought, that's, you know, that's sweet. You know, I don't think about that type of stuff when you podcast. I think because it's so isolatory, you know, like right now it's just you and me talking to each other. We laptops. Don't really see the people that we're talking to.
Correct.
Or who are listening to the show. And I think, you know, you never know what type of inspiration you will provide, or what type of comfort, or what type of, you know, it's good to be there, you know.
And globally too, because it's not just on Instagram or wherever you stream podcasts, but it's on YouTube. It's where pretty much everywhere can stream anything, whether it's a video or just the audio. So I appreciate that. No, I'll forever be an ongoing fan, not only of our queen, but of Emily.
Well, you've also been on the show. You know, you're like a friend of the podcast. You've been on.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're the MLVC requisite makeup artist in the fan, just a little bit.
So, but this is about you. This show is about you and your journey as an artist, and your photography is so well. It's done, like the lighting that you have, your backgrounds, like the juxtaposed, the all of it, like how you have, you know, organized your portfolio, I really appreciate, because I work with many photographers. So I see your compositions, I see your eye for detail. Like, I always appreciate that when a photographer can catch the little nuances in their models of. So how did that start? Like, when did that begin? Like, and when did that become part of your career?
Yeah, well, so my main career is, I do not do any of my artistic endeavors as my main career, sadly. I work in marketing and PR to help pay my mortgage.
Hey, there's an art in that as well. I definitely see that. Yes.
Yeah. But I do have a bunch of side hustles. One is my photography. I got my very first camera my dad gave me as a graduation present from eighth grade. And I just started photo. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, back in the day, we didn't have digital cameras or, you know, cameras in our phones. Cause we didn't, you know, all we had was landlines. And, so it was a film camera, and, you know, photography was, it was a little rough when you couldn't see what you were taking pictures of and how it was turning out until you got the film developed.
Like, surprise.
It was expensive, you know, like it took a lot of money to, you know, you had to buy the film, then you had to develop the film. You know, you couldn't Photoshop anything, you know, it's like, it's the struggle. The struggle was real, Andrew.
But it was an experience too.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I loved it. I don't know why I loved photography. I think a lot of things I sort of got involved with was as a result of Madonna. You know, I think Madonna and seeing Madonna photographs and music videos definitely inspired me to want to be interested in photography. And I just photographed, you know, I was photographing during high school for the yearbook a little bit and learning. And then when I finally went to college, I was able to take my very first photography class, and I was through the moon, you know, like I loved it. It was like life changing. And I ended up being a film major and a photography minor in college. And,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it began. And I mean, I've done all different types of photography through the years. After I graduated from college, I started doing, wedding photography, and I was like a second assistant for weddings and with random people. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's great, you're photographing and you're getting paid for it. But I ended up started to hate doing it because there's only so many weddings that you know, like,
it's not for everybody.
How many chicken dances can you endure? Yeah. Or, you know, the Macarena one more time, you know, like it was just, it started to drive me. And it's long days. You're on your feet for hours and hours and hours. And wedding clients are not the easiest clients in the world.
It's a specialty.
You know, it's like, it's their special day. And like, God forbid you're not getting, you know, they don't think you're doing the right job. And
definitely takes a lot of patience.
Oh, totally. And I had to step away from photography for a little bit because weddings was making me hate photography.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I don't stop photographing right now, I'm going to hate photography, and I don't want to hate photography. So it took like 2 years away. I just didn't even pick up a camera. And I decided to take a class and just to sort of like reinvigorate that passion within me. And the class helped. I started doing a self-portrait project, and then I just started, I upgraded my camera to a better camera, and that sort of helped me. And then I just started photographing anybody and anyone that was willing to photograph that I was like, I need to build my portfolio up in digital photography. And I hate when people are like, I just picked up a camera again, and all of a sudden I was published in the New York Times. Like, I can't stand when people tell their like success stories. They don't talk about like the work that it actually went into doing it. You know, like I was begging people to photograph. Like, people didn't even want to photograph with me. I was just begging friends. Like, can you please just photograph me? Because I was like, if I don't have a current portfolio with new photographs, I'm never going to be able to book a job, you know, unless I have like a current stuff. So I was doing that. And then I just started like begging fashion model agencies to let me photograph with their models. And it's sort of like, when you get one, then it's easier to get the second. And so it was just a matter of like doing that. And then I was doing stuff for some off Broadway theaters, very like small, tiny, like 50 seat black box theaters, doing publicity photos for them. And one of them happened to get a review in the New York Times. So amazing. I was able to get a credit that way. And, you know, so it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, just keep chipping away at things where you're like, oh, now I have a credit in the New York Times. Now I have, you know, like a portfolio of fresh photographs. And so it took years. It was years.
Absolutely.
I think I started photographing again in 2014, and it took me years and years and years of building and building and building and building to get published in any type of, it's online magazines still count, but it's like, you know, when you they get do. That, you're like, oh, I was published in GQ online. I'm like, I will take it. I will
absolutely
take it.
That's absolutely
GQ, cha-ching, you know.
And that's the whole point,
I want to tell everybody, you're not getting paid, you know, like everyone's always like, oh, you got published in the New York Times. Did you get paid? No, I did not. I did not get paid for that. But I like to say that at least it's exposure for my work in case somebody does want to hire me. So
100%. That is part of the journey of the artist and figuring out the style and networking. Like, it's a big part of it. Nobody tells you that in school. Nobody tells you, you know, you're going to have to do all these like pro bonos and collaborate. And well, what does a collaborate mean? Like, it's just part of the process. Like, and that's how you really develop like your skill, working with different people and different types of models and different types of skin tones and different types of backgrounds. Like, that's really the only way. So, I mean, I commend you for having that awareness and saying like, I'm not going to give up. I'm still going to try and I'm still going to go for it. And having like the balls to like continue to ask people to collaborate with you. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And Madonna did that. She's gotten rejection after rejection. And look at where she's at. Like, so for me, like, she's always that inspiration of like, she's been beaten down. She still to this day has, you know, issues of people. She's never going to please everybody, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the point. Like, the point is to do what brings you joy, what makes you happy, and what makes you give you those butterflies when you are creating that magic, and then you see the final product. That's really what's fulfilling. You know what I mean? I feel like that at the end is what matters for like the artist. And then the pay will come later.
Fingers crossed.
The patience. And yes. And you continue to do the work and, you know, show through. I wanted to ask, because I know that you have like your regular Monday through Friday job, you're in PR, you're in photography, you're a podcaster. Do you have any practices or routines that you place to nurture your creativity while running your business?
Practices to like keep me engaged, you mean?
Sure. Some people talk about fitness, spirituality. Some people talk about, you know, meditation or just like having
those
like...
are all wonderful ideas. I actually, I mean,
some people don't have anything because they just can't figure it out. You know what I mean?
I think, well, one of my recent news, not side hustles, I wouldn't even say, I think it's just a hobby. It's definitely a hobby, is as a result of the podcast, as you know, I started getting involved in music production. So because you produce the podcast, you get used to working with audio files. And we were doing an erotica tribute episode a couple years back. And everyone was sort of contributing. You know, I had reached out to a bunch of people to contribute stories and memories of, you know, like what erotica meant to them and, you know, a favorite song or a favorite memory of the era. And I was like, well, I talk about her all the time. There's nothing special about me sharing a story about Madonna on the show, because I do that every time we record. So I thought, what can I do that would be something new and different for me as an artist, you know, and for the listeners on the show? And so I thought, let me, I've always wanted to produce a song, and let me just try. And so I decided to do a song, as a tribute to her character in the erotica album and the sex book, Dita. And because she says, my name is Dita, I'll be your mistress tonight. Mm-hmm. I decided, I was like, oh, I'll call the song Mistress Dita, and it'll be a song just about that character. And I was like, I'm not a singer, but I was like, I'll do spoken word like she does in erotica. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll make the song sound like the erotica album.
I remember
dirty
it.
And gritty. And so if you want to, it's streaming on streaming wherever you find music, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, called Mistress Dita. I love it. I think it's a great first effort for producing music.
It's cute. It has a good beat.
It's a bop.
And
you know,
spoken word sounds good.
It sounds, it's breathy. And it's in the world of erotica. Yes. It sounds cheap and dirty. And that was the point. So, but that sort of got me ignited in, you know, I love pop music. I've been a Madonna fan since I was a kid, and to be able to feel like, oh my God, I can actually now produce music that I want to hear, you know, like, I mean, you know, since Madonna's taking her time getting us another album, you know, I was like, well, I might as well start putting out some dance music that I want to hear. And as you know, our wonderful girl, Liberty, Liberty King, Liberty Rentrop, she's a woman of many names. She's been co-hosting on the show with us for the past couple of years.
And beautiful voice.
She's got a beautiful singing voice. And I thought, hey, Liberty, why don't we start making some music together? So we have, and she's been wonderful to collaborate with. We've never met in person, and yet we continue to collaborate on music back and forth via email. And we just have like FaceTime chats or, you know,
do
like
I see an EP in the future?
There's one coming. We've been working on it. Look, she's a full-time teacher and a mom, and she's got, you know, her schedule. And then I've got my busy schedule and the podcast and this, and it's like to try to find time to get everything done.
I understand.
Tough. You know, like it's tough. There's not enough time in the day. And, you know, and plus then sometimes you just get tired, you know, at the end of the day, after you work all day, you go to the gym afterwards, you have dinner, and then you're sitting on the couch and you're like, oh,
yeah,
but I don't want to edit the podcast tonight. And you just have to, it's like, I had seen, I don't know if it was a meme or some inspirational people, you know, those people are always posting inspirational quotes left and right.
Yeah.
It's like, you feel like if you're not doing something, you're living your life wrong. But somebody had posted saying, life is going to be hard. If you're not working your job, you're going to be unemployed and homeless, and life is going to be hard. Or you can work that awful job that you hate and it'll be a different hard. It'll still be hard, but at least you'll have money and a house.
Yeah. I like that.
So choose your hard, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought, the podcast fitting in an artistic endeavor outside of your normal everyday job is a challenge, and it is work, and it is hard, and it will never get easy because that's just life. But if you want to keep doing it, you know, like I love doing the podcast, and I thought, well, you know, we don't make barely any money off the show, and you know, like it's which is fine.
It's part of the sacrifices, though, of what brings you joy, and you're really good at it, and all you guys do a fantastic job.
But I was like, well, I have two options. I can stop doing the podcast, and then I won't have to worry about doing the podcast. But then it's done. You know, then I'm like, well,
then I'm going to be sad. I'm not going to have anything to look forward to.
Or I keep doing the show, and you know, like just sort of keep having that creative outlet. And I love doing it. It's just been something that's been,
and you're so good at it. You were born to do it. You are literally her.
I keep waiting for her team to hire me. I don't know why her team hasn't. I guess, you know, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I'm already doing her. Yeah. I'm doing her good PR already. But still say that I would have made a fantastic Celebration Tour correspondent. Hiring me to like attend every show.
You've already been to four of them.
I know. Well, I know. And I had such grand plans. I was like, oh, I'll go and I'll interview fans. And no, it's just, there's too much energy going on at those shows. I was like, I was there to see the show. I did record some fantastic footage, which is on our YouTube channel.
So yes.
If you
want to
see
it.
Some beautiful 4K footage of Madonna.
They're really good. Yeah. And it's on your IG as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all over the place, Andrew. I know that list of questions, and I'm just derailing that.
No, I'm here for it. This is why it's part of it, because we're both artists, so it's all good. No, I mean, that's part of the journey, right? Where you have to make sacrifices for the overall fulfillment of what the artistic expression is. And for you, like, that is part of your everyday job. Like, you, I don't think Stefan would be Stefan without MLBC. Like, that is like kind of like your therapy in a sense, you know, it fulfills you.
Oh,
and
that's
it's so good.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Well, because, you know, I mean,
labor of love.
I would talk about Madonna anyway. So at least now there's an outlet for it, you know, as opposed
exactly.
to bugging my friends and family who probably don't give a shit, you know, like
same.
At least this
same.
Way I have people that want.
I have
to
like
hear.
A handful. That I could like just you're
some,
you're
but,
one of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some friends, but like,
right?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, and you think
we're
I'd grow
a special breed.
You think I'd grow weary of it by now? But no.
Same. It's not gonna happen. cool. Okay. Well, I mean, we're talking about Madonna. So what? When did that spark happen? Like, when did you just was when? When did you know? Like, this is the woman. This is the pop star that I am. Like, I'm here for.
Lori Rose 6th grade birthday party. We had the word had gotten out to the parents of the school that I was attending that at the birthday parties we had started kissing games, you know, because it was like, you know, like 7 minutes in heaven or, you know, like spin the bottle. And so Lori Rose parents, all the parents called Lori Rose parents and said, this is what's happening and we don't want this to happen. And so Lori Rose parents chaperoned us and they gave us entertainment to watch so we wouldn't do the kissing games. And that entertainment came in the form of a Betamax tape of Madonna's Virgin Tour. And I had never heard of Madonna before then, but they put this tape on. And as you know, the Virgin Tour starts with, I went to New York and I had a dream. I wanted to be a big star. And it's that beautiful, gorgeous black and white footage of her with the huge, long blonde hair, very Shanghai Surprise. And then the tour starts, you know, she's home in Detroit and she comes down those stairs to dress you up. And instantaneously, I wasn't like, I don't know why or what happened, but there was just something about the combination of seeing that and you know, like, and just her visuals and her dancing and her the songs. And then at the very end, they sort of recap it, sort of bookended with that, again, the same black and white footage. And they loop her laughing over the credits. And my friend Jennifer and I, who are now, have been lifelong Madonna fans ever since.
Yeah.
Her and I just looked at each other and started laughing because we thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world that they were just looping the laugh over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's it. That from that moment on, I was a Madonna fan. And
incredible.
And then, you know, then I had, of course, because she had music out, I was able to like catch up and, you know, figure out, oh, what, you know, like, oh my God, that was the only time in my entire life that I ever had the fortune of having three Madonna albums to catch up on at the same time. Because like, you know how, like when people are like, when they discover a show and like, there's like,
they binge it.
And they're like, oh my God, there's three seasons of this show. Right. And then they're able to binge it back to back.
That's like her discography. Yeah.
That's sort of what I was able to happen, because I was able to find her right before the Who's That Girl era started. So I was able to binge the first Madonna album, Like a Virgin, and True Blue, all back to back to back. So it was
incredible.
Like this plethora of, but it's the only time that's ever happened ever. You know, now I'm.
And you went to that tour, didn't you?
Sadly, no. Oh God, I wish.
Oh,
I
went, okay.
My first tour was Blind Ambition. I was not able to see. Still, no, I missed those. Plus, I was probably too young. My mom would have never let me go.
Yeah,
so I would have been far too young for that.
Blonde Ambition in what city?
Philadelphia.
Incredible.
Worst seats I've ever had for a Madonna.
Doesn't
show.
Matter. You were there.
I mean, it was like she was this tiny little blonde aunt masturbating on stage. You know.
And no screens back then, as far as like projection.
I mean, they filmed her, so like from far away you could see her on the big screen, but it wasn't like, no, the tours were not as opulent,
not technology as it has it now.
No,
so but, cool.
but
I
that
love
spoiled
that.
Me that spoiled me. That was my very first concert I'd ever gone to.
I mean,
and I just
epic.
Assumed that that's what a concert, going to a concert, was like I
You're
just
so lucky.
Figured, oh, this is what a concert is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a Broadway
show. Cinematic, yeah.
And little did I know, I was disappointed when I went to, I'm like, what is this? What's this
right.
fracas shit?
Well, that's what set the tone for all concerts going forward. Now all female pop stars going forward. It was, you know, before her, it was just Michael Jackson that would put that kind of like extravagant show. So.
But not as theatrical.
No,
it was
not
presentational
even.
For sure.
For sure,
he would dance, but it was not as theatrical. So
no, she brought in the theater to it and the acting and just the full multimedia experience. I love that. Okay, cool. Well, back to the mindful artistness.
Yes. I had to look that up, Andrew. I gotta say, I was like, what is so apparently a little bit of background on being a mindful artist, because I was like,
yes, please.
Oh,
tell
I'm
us.
Like, what would that be? What's like, what? And so apparently there's three qualities of mindfulness: intention, attention, and attitude. And
work.
Like, okay, that's good. I can like that. And
I'm
then
here for all of that.
I also, there's apparently the four C's of mindfulness, which is creativity, culture, contemplation, and community. I was like, okay.
So girl, you're speaking my language.
I was trying to do a little bit of, because I was like,
I love it.
I'm like, am I a mindful artist? I don't
you
know
are,
if I necessarily
you are.
Am.
All those words resonate with what you do and what you embody and the community that you have developed and the art that you have expressed, and you're a storyteller, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you've connected so many people with the stories that we've all shared with each other. And it's, you know, I'm getting like goosebumps just thinking about like all the people that we have met throughout the world and just talked to from globally.
I love that. I mean, I love
incredible.
That. I love that
we speak one language, and that's the love
to
for
like
Madonna.
Know people. I mean, we have listeners from all over the world, which is fantastic. And it's so fun to think of, you know, that there's like, I get messages.
Be proud
from people
of it.
Saying, oh, hello from Turkey, or hello from Asia, or this. And it's mind boggling to think that, you
it's
know,
so
like,
dope.
But it's
and
fun.
You did
it's,
that. You did that. Well, you
well,
and,
no,
and
no.
the
I
team.
Think Madonna makes the people come together. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you built that safe space for all of us. So, what tips can you share or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs like yourself looking to incorporate more creativity into their work?
Well, it's like Madonna says, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. You just True. Have to, if you want to do it, you just have to sort of, I find it's, you can sit at home and turn on the television and just zone out. And all of a sudden it's time to go to bed and you haven't done anything but watch television. And I am guilty of that very
You're
often, but
human.
yeah. But you know, because you work all day in front of a computer, sometimes the last thing I want to do is sit in front of a
You want
computer
like,
again for a couple of
right.
hours and either edit the show or edit my photographs. And it's, you know, but if you want to work on a project, you have to put the time into it. And so it's more of just like forcing yourself to sit down and do the work. And I will sometimes do a reward system where I'm like, okay,
I like that.
I will not. I'm like, you can watch some television after you do an hour of. And sometimes there's a wonderful woman named Samantha Bennett. She is part of the Organized Artist Company. And she has this wonderful book called Get It Done. And it's all about how anyone who wants to work on a project, no matter how busy you are in life, if you spend 15 minutes a day on that project, that project will move along. Because
Absolutely.
even though 15 minutes doesn't sound like a lot of time, if you don't work on it at all during the day, then nothing's going to progress. So
exactly.
At least, and sometimes and I go into that, so I'm like, okay, I'll just do 15 minutes of editing off for my photographs. And usually what happens is you get into the groove, Madonna pun intended, and hey, you get into the groove of like, okay, now I'm working on this, I'm editing, and usually 15 minutes can turn into a half an hour or an hour. And then, you know, like, because
especially when you're on a roll,
it's just a matter of putting yourself in that mindset. And I think sometimes removing a temptation, you know, so like, don't put the television on while you're trying to do an artistic project, because something will flash on the screen and then you'll be sidetracked. And
put
it's the
the
same thing.
devices away.
Don't, you know, like, we all have our cell phones, you know, like, don't start scrolling on Instagram, because a half an hour later you'll get, you know, TikTok memes will suddenly take over. And like, it's
true.
Okay. But like, it's okay to do those things, but just like in moderation. So if you feel like you don't have time, you do. It's just a matter of when and where and how.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm fortunate enough that it's just me. I don't have a family of, you know, I don't have kids. So I don't have
Right.
to worry about putting kids to bed or bathing them or getting food ready for school the next
No
day.
pets.
Like, no pets. But it's just, you know, I designed my life that way. And so I have the fortune of being able to devote my free time to creativity. And I mean,
I love
you
that.
know, but it's tiring sometimes, you know, like there's sometimes where I'm just like, I just don't want to do it. And I have to remind myself that I'm like, well, if you don't do it, then it's not going to get done. And if it doesn't get done, then it's your fault when, you know, you feel like you're not living up to your potential as an artist. And
Well, I like that you're rewarding yourself too. You're saying if you get this done, then you'll be able to watch TV, or then you're going to get a treat. Like, so having a little reward system, I think is
sometimes
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and then sometimes I do. Sometimes I just can't. Like, sometimes the divine inspiration just hits. Like, I'll be listening to music and I'm like, oh, and it'll an idea will strike me for like a story or like a movie idea or a song idea. And I just constantly, I'm just constantly sort of like, and I mean, I've never done a movie. I've never, you know, even never done
Not
a TV
yet.
show, not yet. But that's the thing. I'm constantly writing stuff down, just cobbling together ideas and this, that, because you never know like where it might come into fruition somewhere down the line. And also I believe part of being an artist, obviously we all want to be successful. We want to, you know, we all would love to be getting paid to work on our art and full time. I know I would, but just because you're not doesn't necessarily, one, mean you're not a successful artist. I think you have to
Correct.
have a lot of self-confidence and belief in yourself as an artist. I mean, I remember the first time I took a photo of somebody with, it was maybe one of my early photo shoots with a model, and I edited it in Photoshop for the very first time. And when I looked at it, I was like, wow, this looks like something you would see in a magazine. And that was the very first time that I remembered thinking to myself, oh, I can do this. I'm just as good. And I think the thing that I've learned time after time after time is you're, even if you're not like on one of your photos isn't on the cover of GQ magazine, it doesn't mean that you're not as good as the people who are on the cover of GQ magazine. It just means you might not have the connection that those people have.
Right.
Like, for instance, now, Andrew, you know, I was recently in Washington, D.C. to see Madonna's final celebration tour show of 2023.
I heard the recap. Yeah.
Yes. And her guest for the Vogue ballroom scene was Santa Claus.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I happened to be in one of the fan pits that I paid a huge amount of money to be part of. And when Santa Claus came up and joined Madonna, I started snapping a whole bunch of pictures.
Right.
And one of my pictures is absolutely brilliant. I'm patting myself on the back for it because
it really
is so good.
And it went viral.
Well, because I knew, because I was like, let me post this immediately because I wanted my photo to be out first.
Yes.
And it is now, in my mind, the definitive photo of Madonna and Santa Claus. And you will see that photo probably every Christmas. It'll come back around.
100%.
But when I took that, the whole long-winded reason I'm telling you this story is,
you're good.
When I saw that photo, all I thought was, see, I can take just as amazing as a photo as Madonna's social guy.
Paparazzi.
I just don't have the connection to, you know, be doing that full time for her, you know? So, but I looked at it, I'm like, my photo is just as good as any other photo that she puts out from the tour. It's just a matter of,
I was so proud.
It's who you know.
I was like, yeah, no, it was done very well. And the fact that you were smart enough to be like, this has got to be online now. Like, that was so smart.
But you
had Santa interview too.
Yes. Well, I was like, I have to get him on the show.
Like, so Stephen.
I got the guy on the show. I got the Santa Claus on the show. But
incredible.
That's my point, is that like, I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like if you're not getting paid and you're not supporting yourself with your art, that means your art isn't good. And that's not true. Your art is good if you love it. And even if people are putting you down and telling you it's trash, I mean, I get messages at least once a month, if not sometimes once a week, from people telling me how terrible my podcast is and how I should, you know, like, how, why do I can't believe you call yourself a fan. You know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes we'll get something wrong, or like
haters
in the moment.
It's actually a compliment, like, to have haters.
It is sad and depressing sometimes when people come at you and say that what you're doing is terrible. I, you know, like, one of the things when you put yourself out on a public platform, like a podcast or YouTube or whatnot, you set yourself up to have these anonymous people who don't want to know, they don't want you to know who they are. And they just start attacking you with awful comments and this and that. And I'm just like, you know what? The more hate I get, I feel like, okay, well, I must be getting bigger and more popular if exactly. I'm getting more hate. So
exactly.
I'm like, okay, Madonna gets shit on all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like,
look at where she's at. Yeah. I love it. All right, you guys. So the first season 2024, this leads me into a new segment of our podcast.
The library is open. Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
There you have it.
And that is, the library is open. So this is an opportunity for the guests to share with us their favorite book. Maybe it's a book they're currently reading or a book from the past. And what are your top three reasons, Stefan? So go for it. What is your favorite book at the moment?
Do we have to talk quietly because we're in the library?
No. Am I talking quietly? I'm a loud bitch. No.
Oh, you're the person, the librarian's like, shh.
Yes.
Sit down. You're in the library. Yeah, your voice would have echoed in a library, Andrew.
Oh, for sure.
You probably.
My husband says, like, you don't know how to whisper. I'm like, yes, I do.
Oh, but see, you sound good when you do that. You should do like ASMR videos.
Well, it's in my song. It says,
make one song. The Mindful Artist Podcast.
It's very breathy.
Have you ever watched any of those, by the way? The ASMR videos of like no. that woman eating a pickle. Like
no.
she just sits there and eats a pickle.
No, or, like, just, I think of breath.
Sits there, she sits there and she like has these long fingernails and she just types on the laptop. And I'm like, I cannot believe this woman is making so much money off of just
the closest to ASMR I've ever watched is Bob Ross. That's about it.
Oh, so good. Bob Ross. That was therapy. That was like, that would put me to sleep on a Sunday.
I've been told I'm the Bob Ross of makeup, and I'll take that because when I'm talking to my clients, I'm like, so you're going to blend now.
I was going to say, what little happy little bush are you painting? That's
No, not the erotica.
Okay, so library. Top is it the sex books? Book? Top three books?
No, just one and your top three reasons why.
Okay, no, it's not the sex book. No, I have the sex book, but it's in French.
Me too. I'll bring it out.
Do you have the French language version?
No, I have the
English. Oh, you have an English language. Okay. Yeah. I was not able to get an English language version because I didn't have enough money to buy one for myself. And years later, Barnes & Noble had a whole table. I can't believe I only bought one. I can't believe. Yeah. I was like,
well, we didn't know. And
no, I'm I know. Sure, but like they had all these different foreign language versions of the
book. I saw the French version next to those.
So I bought the French language version because I was like, well, I took French, so I can figure out some of the words. J'adore ma chatte is definitely a nice way of Madonna saying she loves her punani. But anyway, favorite book. Well, not favorite book, but current book that I'm reading is A Rebel Life by Mary Gabriel. It's the Madonna autobiography.
Yeah,
it's the Madonna biography.
Yes.
We had Mary on the show. And I mean, this book is like, it's like bigger than a Harry Potter book. Like it's huge. It's like over 900 pages and it's taking me forever to read.
What chapter are you on?
I used to be such a voracious reader when I was young. Like I loved reading. And now I don't read as much and I don't know why. It's not for lack of like time. I think I do so many other projects now that I like don't have the attention span to read. I just got to Madonna and Sean's wedding. I don't know what chapter that is, but I'm still in the 80s. I'm still in the 80s.
Sounds like chapter 2 or 3 probably.
No. I'm it's like over 900 pages. It's huge, the book, but
it's probably the first chapter. Yeah.
No, it's like, I think it's like chapter 13 or 14 or something.
Oh,
there's,
okay.
There's
okay.
tons of chapters. Like it's okay, like, got it, got there's it. Like 100 and some chapters in the book. It's crazy. But
Rebel Life
by Mary Gabriel. That's the current book I'm reading. I'm trying to think if there's like other wonder. What are you currently reading, Andrew?
I'm doing Matt Kahn. Everything is here to help you. I'm doing,
is that a makeup book like Kevin Aquan's book?
No, it's actually it's more mindfulness and it's about retraining the brain on opportunities and challenges that we often occur or experience, and at the time we might think like, oh, why is this happening to me, why is this happening to me, oh, another day, like bad luck, but maybe why retraining the brain to say or ask, why is this happening for me, what can I learn from the situation. So I'm fascinated with energies and learning about like, what is it about that person that I wasn't vibing with? And maybe I'm projecting something that I didn't like about myself. And so it's really cool. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm all about human energy. I think there's like, I love the experiencing energies from people.
Yes.
And even when you experience like a negative energy from somebody, it's fascinating to experience that. And
exactly. I always want to wonder, like, I want to find out why, or like, what is the connection? Like what, or
well,
what
I think
is...
we're all light. We're all one and connected in this universe. And, to be able to send love out as much as possible. I mean, I'm so guilty of being a harbinger of like, irritation, and like I have a very short fuse when it comes to random people and like stupidity, and you know, just like I just want people to be aware of their surroundings, you know, like if you're storming out of your house, just look left or right before to make sure you're not going to run into somebody, you know, or like hold the door for somebody, like look to see that there's somebody, you know, just like just being kind aware. And considerate and aware of the other humans in the space, you know, like to recognize that we're, you know, you're not the only person in the world. And
I mean, if you practice that, I'm finding that that can be infectious too with your surroundings. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm learning from this book. But I also love, you know, sci-fi like Martian Chronicles, Ray Bradbury. And I'm also reading this other one by Rob Dial called Level Up. It's just all these things that like I'm a nerd. I like to have like a ongoing 3-book rotation, and so that's my goal this year. I'm doing this it's called Reflect 30-Day Reset, and so now I'm trying to have like 5 books.
So it's a rotating. Lot of self-help books.
Yeah mainly, and sci-fi. I love sci-fi too.
Well, I don't, why are you reading so many self-help books? I feel like you seem very calm and cool and collected.
Probably because of the self-help books. it's just, I'm fascinated with the human brain. I'm fascinated with neurology and how it's basically my mom. You know, I just lost my mom, earlier this year, and she suffered a long term of chronic depression and substance abuse. And so through her mental health journey, I'm really educating myself along with my brothers to help them, and then I'm finding I'm helping other people through that experience. So it's pretty cool. And so I try to bring that into the podcast whenever I possibly can.
Nice. But
thank you for sharing that book. I love that. So this leads me into my other favorite part of the podcast. This is called Wrapping Up Mindful Artists Rapid Cues. Just like you on your podcast, wherever you are, intuitively, don't think too hard about it.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. This tables have turned.
Question number one for you, Stefan. Mm-hmm. Who is your hero and why?
Oh, God. My mother.
Yes. What's mama's name?
Marianne.
Shout out to Marianne.
Yeah, she was a single mom raising 2 kids, and life was not easy. And she's a wonderful person, and I love her. Yeah.
Good job. Love that.
Oh, because she's always supported me and championed me to live up to my potential, and encourages me in my artistic endeavors, and you know, like to just always feel supported has been a really wonderful gift for me.
It's very special.
Because like even because, you know, like I was saying, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't support myself with my artistic endeavors, and so sometimes I feel like I failed, you know, like a lot of times because I'm not getting paid for my art, I feel like, oh, I'm a failure. And it's at least nice to have somebody who's always been there saying,
you're number one fan,
you're great, this is wonderful. And I mean, you know, when it's your mom, you sometimes don't necessarily believe them, but it's still nice to hear, you know?
Absolutely. I agree. We love Marianne. Good answer.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two for wrapping up my Florida's Rapid Cues. What is your favorite music album of all time?
Oh, God. Well, I was going to say it's got to be a Madonna album. I'm just going to say Erotica because it's off the top of my head that's
good. Yeah. Good. It's a good capsule. It embodies a lot of things. I love it. Question number three. What is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh, God. Oh, I was going to say it should be a Madonna quote, I guess, right? I mean, this is the one that I always come back
fitting,
to.
It's fitting.
Yeah, this is the one that I always come back to, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's Madonna when she says, you're not going to get what you don't ask for, basically. You know, like if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it.
And period.
I think that's true. You know, like in life, if there's an opportunity that comes your way, you have to take it, you know, and just jump at it, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, and you won't know if you don't ask. So
absolutely. You said it perfectly. Yeah. And that's Mindful Artist Podcast, you guys.
Oh, I want more questions. You need to come up with
so
like
good
five.
At it.
You need like five.
Maybe
or
I will. Maybe I will for
you. Three's
good. Keeps going.
Why? What's your favorite quote right now?
Ooh. My favorite quote right now is probably going to be,
oh, you're taking too long.
I know, because I've been interviewing, you're like my third one today.
Oh wow, busy man.
That's okay. I'm gonna say one for me. Hair and makeup is emotional, because of not only how it affects myself as the artist performing it, but how it affects the human as they experience themselves in the mirror and how it affects others around them. It's an emotional, you know, medium. So
yeah, I love that. Yeah, no, that's totally true. Oh, I was going to say, so there's two wonderful books that I
yes, tell us.
I have read in the past. I'm adding these on. So one is called Dancer from the Dance by Andrew Halloran. It's a wonderful, it's a gay book and I love it. It's
love a gay book.
I've read it years ago, but it's wonderful gay fiction. And and then there's one called Dry.
My husband's into that.
Dry by Augustine Burroughs. And I had stopped drinking when I was 35 to help me.
Congratulations.
To help me quit smoking cigarettes. And then I just enjoyed not drinking so much that I decided to stay off booze. But Dry is a book by Augustine Burroughs. He talks about how he was an alcoholic and it's his story of getting sober. And it was just fascinating to read. Ever since I stopped drinking, it's been fascinating for me to read other people's stories about them stopping drinking.
And yeah, absolutely.
The differences and the similarities, and you know, because I had never considered myself an alcoholic, but there's still similarities that people encounter by like when they quit drinking. It's the same type of things happen. So it's
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I got Rebel Life, Dancer from the Dance, and Drive by Augustine Burroughs. Very cool. Awesome. Stefan, you're amazing. I'm so grateful.
Thanks, Andrew. You are amazing too. I love that you're doing the show and bringing artists of all
you inspired me to do that. So
all different types of,
you know. Thank you for giving me advice when I called you about it too. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah. That's one thing I think I should start doing as another side hustle. If anyone wants to hire me to consult for podcasting, I'm available. So
you really are. You are good. Where can we find you? Where can we support you and do all the things?
Sure. So if you want to look at my photography, because it's beautiful.
It really is.
You can check my website, stefanmarechko.com, or my Instagram for my photography is at smarechko, M-R-E-C-Z-K-O. Then you can find MLVC, the Madonna podcast, on anywhere that you stream podcasts, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. We're everywhere. And we're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at MLVC podcast. Our sixth season will be kicking
off. That's crazy.
In early January. So it's, I'm excited.
Can't wait. I'm here for it. Thank you so much for being here, Stefan. And thank you, everybody else, my kings and queens and all in between. This is your one-stop shop place for all things mindfulness, creativity, while balancing your spirituality and being an entrepreneur. Make sure that you follow us on social media. If you are an entrepreneur that wants to express your story, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. And that song you're about to hear is called Mi Corazón. You can download wherever you stream your favorite music. Written by myself, Andrew Velasquez, and produced by Aaron McLendon. Thank you so much. Stefan, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Make an impact in somebody's lives. And
I can't do the hearts as well as you can, but
I don't think it's working. There it is.
Bye,
guys. Bye.